नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Bhagavatam 10th canto 3rd chapter, The Birth of Lord Krishna, text number 40-43. Gate mai yuvam labdva varam matsa drisham sutam gramyan bhogan abhunjatam Yuvam prapta manorato. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. After you received that benediction and I disappeared, you engaged yourself in sex to have a son like me, and I fulfilled your desire. Purport. According to the Sanskrit dictionary Amarakosha, sex life is also called gramya dharma, material desire. But in spiritual life, this gramya dharma, the material desire for sex, is not very much appreciated. If one has a tinge of attachment for the material enjoyments of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, one is not nishkinchana. But one really should be nishkinchana. Therefore, one should be free from the desire to beget a child like Krishna by sexual enjoyment. This is indirectly hinted at in this verse. Text 41. Adrishtvan yattamam loke shilaudarya gunai samam aham sutovang abhavang prishnigarbha iti shrutaha. Since I found no one else as highly elevated as you in simplicity and other qualities of good character, I appeared in this world as prishnigarbha, or one who is celebrated as having taken birth from Prishni. Purport. In the Treta Yuga, the Lord appears as Prishnigarbha. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, Prishnigarbha iti soyam Treta Yuga vataro lakshyate. Text 42. Tayorvang punar evaham adityang asakashyapat upendra iti vikyato Vamanatvach Vamanaha. In the next millennium, I again appear from the two of you who appeared as my mother, Aditi, and my father, Kashyapa. I was known as Upendra, and because of being a dwarf, I was also known as Vaman. In text 43, Tritiyesmin bhave hangvai tenaiva vapusha tavang. Jato bhuyastayor eva satyang me vyaritang sati. Translation. O supremely chaste mother, I, the same personality, have now appeared of you both as your son for the third time. Take my words as the truth. Purport. The supreme personality of Godhead chooses a mother and father from whom to take birth again and again. The Lord took birth originally from Sutapa and Prishni, then from Kashyapa and Aditi, and again from the same father and mother, Vasudev and Devaki. In other appearances also, the Lord said, I took the form as an ordinary child just to become your son, so that we could reciprocate eternal love. Jiva Goswami has explained this verse in his Krishna Sandarbha, 96th chapter, where he notes that in text 37, the Lord says, Amuna Vapusha, meaning, by this same form. In other words, the Lord told Devaki, this time I have appeared in my original form as Sri Krishna. Srila Jiva Goswami says that the other forms were partial expansions of the Lord's original form. But because of the intense love developed by Prishni and Sutapa, the Lord appeared from Devaki and Vasudev in his full opulence as Sri Krishna. In this verse, the Lord confirms, I am the same Supreme Personality of Godhead, but I appear in full opulence as Sri Krishna. This is the purport of the words Tenaiva Vapusha. When the Lord mentioned the birth of Prishnigarbha, he did not say Tenaiva Vapusha, but he assured Devaki that in the third birth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, had appeared, not his partial expansion. Prishnigarbha and Vaman were partial expansions of Krishna, but in this third birth, Krishna himself appeared. This is the explanation given in Sri Krishna Sandarbha by Srila Jiva Goswami. Hare Krishna. Could somebody move this? By the blessings of the great souls, we have been left with their Mahaprasad, their mercy. So that's why today there is so many verses. And by the instructions of Baladev and Govinda Prabhu, we will say something on the books. Hare Krishna. From your ecstatic dancing, I can see that everybody is quite fired up and ready for the marathon. Now, when you hear the word marathon, it evokes different emotions in you. I can only speak for myself. There is a mixed emotions of anxiety, anticipation, fond memories, and some uncertainty of what is going to transpire. Now, how has this come into being, we will discuss after we speak on these verses. Here, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is speaking to Vasudeva and Devaki, his eternal father and mother, and he's telling them that he has appeared as their son in so many different forms, in so many different incarnations. But unlike other incarnations, he has appeared in his original form, Swayam Bhagavan, to give them pleasure and to engage in loving reciprocation with his parents. Sutapa and Prishni, yes, they also took the form of Krishna's parents. And Krishna appeared as Prishnigarbha. And as Vamana, he also appeared to Kashyapa and Aditi. But these were partial expansions. What does partial expansion mean? It means it is only a part. It is only a certain manifestation of the Lord's opulence. His full opulence is not manifested. When we see these different incarnations, they appear for a specific purpose. But Krishna, he is Swayam Bhagavan, he manifests the full opulence of all the glorious qualities and characteristics. Now, we hear in the Bhagavatam of so many different partial incarnations of the Lord, but they do not have the same characteristics as Krishna. None of them play the flute. Only Krishna plays the flute. You don't hear that Vamanadeva plays the flute, right? Vamanadeva holds a begging bowl. And he has other attributes of a dwarf Brahmin. But only Krishna plays the flute. That is very extraordinary. In fact, a German scholar went to India, and on coming back, he concluded that Krishna must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because all other devas, they're working. They have a job. But only Krishna is dancing and playing flute. So that shows that he's the supreme. Because he doesn't have to work. He's only enjoying. What else are the extraordinary qualities of Krishna that distinguish him even from the Vishnu expansions? He has supremely attractive pastimes with his loving devotees. Now, we do not hear of that from the other expansions. The Lord is feared, the Lord is revered, the Lord is worshipped, the Lord is respected, the Lord comes to establish his supreme ruling power. But the loving exchanges, the loving dealings between Krishna and his coward boys and his coward girlfriends, they're uniquely supreme and extraordinarily sweet, beyond all comparison. So Krishna has very unique qualities. Now here in this verse, it is stated that Vasudeva and Devaki had the desire to beget a son like Krishna through the process of sex life. And it is explained that this desire is not considered to be acceptable. Now, we may get confused and think how it is that the eternal father and mother of the Supreme Personality of Godhead have a desire that is regarded as material and thus not as niskinchana. How come they cannot qualify for that category? But in the previous verse, it was explained that under the influence of Deva Maya, under the influence of the internal desire of the Lord, Vasudeva and Devaki manifested that desire. The Bhagavatam is teaching us lessons on many different levels. So, Vasudeva and Devaki, they're unalloyed pure devotees of the Supreme Lord Krishna. But for the sake of teaching us, here it is elaborated on this topic that to have the desire to have the Lord as one's son is a legitimate desire. But to do so in the process of engaging in the mundane act of sex life is considered to be gramya dharma, the material desire. And thus it is not acceptable for pure devotees who are striving to be niskinchana bhagavat bhajadon mukhasya. So to become free from that desire does not mean to become free from the desire of having Krishna as one's son, but it means to be free from the selfish desire for personal enjoyment. Now, Srila Prabhupada goes on to explain that if we still long, if we still have desires for ahar, nidra, bhaya, and maituna, for eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, then we are still conditioned in this material world. One time, Srila Prabhupada, in the late 70s, he looked at his disciples and he said that, "I do not hardly eat, I don't sleep anymore, there is no question of defending or of sex life, so I guess I'm liberated." And he was chuckling, he was smiling. So, a devotee may be engaged in different type of occupations, but because he is fully absorbed in the purpose, in the mission of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that is his purity. Purity of desire does not mean being free of all desires. The soul is desiring. Thus, we cannot get rid of desires. In fact, if we look into our hearts, there's so many desires of all different types of varieties. So, if we introspect, we see that these desires have always been there, they're there now, and they will always be there. Now, what is our chance to become niskinchana? It doesn't mean to be free of desire. It means to be free of the selfish material desire. Now, whether these activities of ahar nidra bhaya maitunang may exist in a gross or in a very subtle form, they are still material contaminations. We may be members of a spiritual movement and we may engage in these activities in the context of varnashram dharma or in the context of Krishna consciousness, but we are still engaged and captured by these activities. So, Dhruva Maharaj, he lamented that he had so many desires and that he had to stay in this world in order to reap the desired result of his wishes. Even though Vamandev is always guarding his planet, Dhruva Maharaj was lamenting that, why did I have such materialistic desires? So to be Nishkinchana, to be free from personal desire, from personal agenda, is very nicely summed up here in this word where Krishna says to his parents that you have appeared as my parents and I have appeared as your son because of your simplicity. Simplicity is that quality which is mentioned specifically, and other good qualities, but simplicity is especially mentioned. Now, what does simplicity mean? Because to be plain and simple, it seems like something very barren, something very boring, something very dull, and not very attractive or sophisticated. But the word simplicity comes from single. It means it only has one quality. Whereas the opposite is duplicity, duplo. There is two or many desires. Usually we have a apparent desire or apparent motive, but then there are hidden motives. Just like when a policeman or a judge asks, what was the motive? If there is no motive, there is no case. So what is his motive? Why did he commit this activity? Once you understand the motive, you understand the whole story. So once we understand the motive of Vasudev and Devaki, we understand their heart, their nature, their characteristic. Without duplicity means not being deceitful and not engaging in double dealings. So Krishna, he appears in his original form as Swayam Bhagavan, and he manifests his wonderful exalted pastimes with his loving devotees. Now when Krishna left this world, where did all the good qualities and all the auspiciousness take shelter? Krishna svadam opagate. It is stated that they took shelter in Srimad Bhagavatam. Because Krishna nowadays, he's not present on this planet in his form as Swayam Bhagavan. But he is present in his form as Srimad Bhagavatam. So if we want to have Krishna's darshan, we should read Srimad Bhagavatam. And that's why Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, Srila Prabhupada has instituted that we daily hear from Srimad Bhagavatam. Even though we may not read so much, we should read, but even if we're not reading, just by following the process, by following the program, we hear one verse, or sometimes three verses, or four verses of Bhagavatam every day. Now, if you only read one verse of Bhagavatam a day, how many years does it take you to finish the Bhagavatam? Who knows? Fifty or 60 years. Now, that's quite a long time. We do not wait. We do not want to wait so long, because who can say, I will live for 60 years or 50 years? Therefore, we should read more. Now, if you read Prabhupada's books 2 hours a day, then within 2 years, you can read all of Prabhupada's books. Is that feasible? It's possible. Now, you may say, I live a very busy life, I have so much seva, and I have so many social responsibilities, so you read 1 hour. So that means within 4 years, you've read all of Prabhupada's books. Now, I see many devotees here are in the movement for 10 years, for 20 years, so they already have read Prabhupada's books 2 times, 4 times, 6 times. That is quite extraordinary. So we have been blessed by these Bhaktivedanta purports. One time, a reporter asked Srila Prabhupada, how could you, Swamiji, how could you write so many books? Prabhupada said, I have not written these books. These books were written by Krishna. The reporter could not understand. So one secretary tried to explain, and he said, what Swamiji is trying to say is that Krishna was dictating these books to him. Prabhupada said, no. Krishna has he was saying that Krishna has given me the intelligence to write these books. Prabhupada said, no. Krishna has personally dictated me these books. So, these Bhaktivedanta purports are Srila Prabhupada's devotional ecstasies. He said, you want to know me? Then read my books. I only have one criticism of my disciples, that they do not read enough. So, the marathon is coming up, and as we can see, everybody is very fired up, fully surcharged with energy from Vrindavan and Govardhan Yatra, from Vyasa Puja, from rolling in the dust of Braj. So everybody is already ready to take off. They're on the launching pad, ready to take off. Now, if we look into our hearts, we may think, well, not quite. Not quite there yet. So, how to prepare ourselves? Just like Vasudeva and Devaki, they prepared themselves to have Krishna as their child. And they underwent severe tapasya. They performed severe penances and austerities, and they prayed, and they fasted, and they longed for the Lord to appear as their son. So if we want that Krishna appears in this world in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, then we should follow the example of Vasudeva and Devaki and intensely pray to Srila Prabhupada and to our spiritual masters, please empower me as a recipient of your mercy. And Krishna answers the prayer of his devotees because that is Krishna's nature. He is always happy to oblige. He's always happy to reciprocate his devotees' desires. Some short time ago, I was in Russia, in the Urals, Yekaterinburg, which is where all the Russian oil and gas is coming from. If you wonder why Russia is so economically developing, it is because they have so much oil and gas, and it's because they're selling so many military equipments to countries like India and others in that region. So, in Yekaterinburg, I went out on the street with devotees to distribute Prabhupada's books. And I met one lady, elderly lady. She was also distributing Prabhupada's books. And I asked her, her name is Tulsi Rupini. And I asked her, dear Mataji, I'm sorry, but I have to ask, what is your age? Now, that's not something you usually ask ladies because it is not very much appreciated as a topic. So, but being a great grandmother, she smiled and she said, I'm 72 years old. I asked her, how often do you go out to distribute books? She said, every day I go for 3 or 4 hours. And she distributes about 10 big books and 40 small books and 80 magazines. And how is she doing that? She just stands in this big walking street and she just smiles and she just calls people over. And because she's great-grandmother, people have to surrender because she has a very authoritative nature and a very distinguished shape. You cannot miss her. She's quite solid or quite healthy, as you say, in India. So she calls people over and she hands them a book and she says, this book is about Krishna. I want you to have this book because it will be good for you. Now if people argue and they say, I do not have any money, then she says, that is okay. My son or my daughter, you can come tomorrow and bring me the money. I will be waiting here for you. And people come back and bring her the money. because you don't want to cheat your grandmother. Now here we are sitting, and we are young and strong and energetic, and we are thinking, ooh, marathon, ooh, book distribution. Why has my Guru Maharaj left me with this burden of this mission? Now, how old are you? 33. And you were dancing like you're on fire. Now, how many hours will you go out to distribute Prabhupada's books? Just in the marathon. You don't have to answer. We can all ask ourselves this question. What will I do to try to alleviate the pain of the Guru Parampara? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said, I'm in a predicament. I have brought all these fruits of love of God, but there is nobody in the marketplace. Not even if I'm giving it for free. People are not willing to take it. Vasudev Datta, he was ready to take the suffering of the living entities on himself and suffer eternally just to liberate them. So Srila Prabhupada, in the same way, feeling the suffering of the conditioned souls, feeling our pain, our suffering, he took the arduous journey to America to distribute Krishna consciousness, to write these books. Now, Americans and Europeans have went all over the world to propagate the mission of Krishna consciousness. Now it's 2011, almost 2012, and preaching may be up in some places and maybe down in other places. So we should ask ourselves, are we getting ready to spread Krishna consciousness all throughout the world? How many of you are ready to learn Russian to become preachers in Russia? Prabhupada went in 71 and he brought one Bhagavad Gita and one easy journey to other planets. When the customs officials found it in the bag of Shyamasundar, the book fell on the ground. And so many pictures came out of the book. And they got very embarrassed. So they picked up all the pictures and put them back in and said, okay, go, go, go. Because they felt bad that they had dropped and looked clumsy. So from that one Bhagavad Gita, millions of books have been produced and distributed. And tens of thousands of devotees are there. In the Ukraine, there was a festival with 6,000 devotees this summer. They have more than 10,000 fully practicing devotees in the Ukraine, which is a country of 45 million people. How many people in India? What's the latest count today morning? 200 crores. 100 crores. 1 billion, 1.2 billion. That's a lot of people. In Russia, there is tens of thousands of devotees. How many preachers, how many sannyasis, how many spiritual masters do we have? A handful. And most of them are quite old. So how many of you are learning Russian? How many of you are learning Chinese? From the year of 2012, if you are born in Sweden, your second language besides Swedish will be Chinese. You have to learn Chinese in school. Not English, Chinese. So how many of you are learning Chinese? Now we heard yesterday that Prabhupada commented that it is not required to put in 10, 12 years to learn Sanskrit. If you have already done so, we will not hold it against you. It's okay. You can use it in the preaching. But are we getting ourselves prepared to spread this mission? Or are we simply becoming comfortable and living at the expense of the austerities of the previous generations? So, to become useful for the mission of the spiritual master is the aspiration of the disciple. That is his sole meditation. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he commented in the verse, in the purport to the verse, Vyavyasya Atmika Budhire Keha Kuru Nandana, that the perfection of the life of the disciple is to absorb himself in the mission of the Guru. Now, a few days ago, I asked Srila Radhanath Maharaj, I said that it seems to me that our Krishna consciousness movement is not very relevant to the Western people here in India. And he looked at me and he laughed and he said, only in India? No. Our temples, our festivals, our programs are very attractive for people who come from a certain cultural background. But for people who come from a different cultural background, these programs are not so attractive because they are looking for personal interaction. They're looking for a sensible discussion which is not based on populism, on nationalism, on religion, on ethnic background. People are looking to become inspired. They don't want to convert. They want to become enlightened. So, in order to do that, we should scrutinizingly study Srila Prabhupada's books and his example. When Rick Scully was asked, why was Prabhupada so unique? Because he said he was the one who organized Avalon Ballroom and those programs in San Francisco for Prabhupada. And he said, you know, your Swamiji, he was a unique person. So many Swamis, so many yogis came from India and they talked and did so many things. But your Swamiji was unique. Then, as Srila Radhanath Maharaj recalls, why was he unique? And Rakshkali said, because he was one of us. Now the Hells Angels, who is a biker gang from Oakland near San Francisco, which is the infamous place with the highest murder rate in America, they are a biker gang. They're nefarious. They're feared. But those people, they thought that Prabhupada is one of us. The hippies who were engaging in all sorts of very questionable activities, they thought Prabhupada is one of us. The scholars and professors, they thought he's one of us. The theologians and religionists, they thought he's one of us. And Sally and Gopal Agarwal, who Prabhupada stayed with and cooked for them and cared for them. And also Dr. Mishra, the yoga teacher, Mayavadi, with his yoga studio. They all concluded Prabhupada was one of us. Now, when people see us, what do they feel? What do they think? That we are a like-minded person, or that they're bonding with us? Or do they feel intimidated or threatened or just amused at our presence? A few months ago, I was in Uzbekistan, in Tashkent, which is just near to Afghanistan. It is actually from Delhi, just north, over the Himalayas. And I was visiting some of the local sites, and there was a big, beautiful, looked like a mosque, but actually it was a samadhi of a Sufi saint. And there was a Sufi person there, which is part of Muslim tradition, Islamic tradition, but they're quite devotional. He had shaved head and a beard. It looked quite weird. It looked quite strange. Well, he was there offering his prayers. And I was there with another devotees in regular clothes, not Vaishnav dress. And he finished his prayers, and then he turned to us, and he took the hands of the other devotee, and he spoke to him in Uzbek. Now, I could not understand a word, but from watching his eyes and hearing his voice, I could feel this person has got bhakti. What he said, the translation of what he said was, I know that you're devotees of Krishna and that you're very sincere. I appreciate very much that you have come here to pray at the lotus feet of this saint. And I'm sure that by his blessings, you will achieve all your spiritual desires. Now, I would like to invite you to come to my home and share lunch with me. Now, here is a person of a different religion who has never seen us, who has just met us for a few seconds, and he's inviting us to go to his home and to break bread with him. Now, I've been in India here since 86, which is a few years, about 25 years. And there were similar occasions with similar individuals, but most of them not of my tradition. So it is quite astounding to see that we do not have a monopoly on Bhagavad Gita. We do not have a monopoly on bhakti. We cannot think that, yes, I'm one of the good guys and that's good enough. But we should introspect and strive to work on ourselves to actually imbibe Srila Prabhupada's mood and Srila Prabhupada's teachings, which means to encourage each and every individual on their progressive path of Krishna consciousness. When I landed in Mumbai a few days ago and my contact person was not there, I had the choice of either becoming upset or of just seeing it as Krishna's arrangement. So I didn't have a SIM card, so I asked the boy next to me, can you please borrow me your mobile phone? And of course, everybody is very happy to share his mobile phone to show you what generous and kind person he is and what good mobile phone he has. So, and I took out the small Bhagavad Gita and I said, can you hold this for a second? And I put it in his hands. So he, while I was calling Gauranga Priya to see where the driver was, then the driver showed up. He was looking at the Bhagavad Gita. And then I noticed that he was wearing a green backpack. So I said, Army? He said, no, Navy. I said, ah, even better. And he felt very happy. So I pointed to the book, to the cover, and I said, you know, Arjun, he was like you. He was serviceman. He was also in military. And this teachings changed his life. So this book will benefit you. Please give a donation. And he took the Gita and gave 200 rupees. It took 5 seconds. Now, book distribution in India is so easy. It is like fishing in a barrel with dynamite. Now, we don't fish. But as you heard, you know, the Sanyas Danda, it's like a fishing rod. And we should be fishers, fishermen for souls. Now, in a barrel, you cannot miss the fish. I was just in Pushkar the other week, and there was 10 lakh people in Pushkar. Now, some went for snan, and some went for camels, and everybody had their own agenda. Some went for Karmakanda, others went for other things. But people were there. We went with a small group, 4 Russians, 1 Danish, and myself, and Prabhupada's books. And every day for 6 hours, we went out to do Harinam. 3 hours morning, 3 hours evening. Now, I've seen here in Radha Gopinath Mandir, you have some of the most incredible kirtan singers and dancers and musicians on the planet. But you got to take that kirtan out on the street. Don't just go around in the traffic once a week and feel happy. Take it out down to Nariman Point. Take it out on Marine Drive. Take it out where the people are. And what happens? A big crowd will gather. And then what do? You just hold out the books. And it will be like a mad feeding frenzy. You know what a feeding frenzy is? You have an aquarium and you open the top and you pour in some food. What happens? The fish will go. That's what happens. You make nice kirtan and you hold out the books and the people will just... Vaisheshika Prabhu, my mentor and Shiksha Guru from San Jose, they were distributing books in front of Krishna Balaram Mandir on Ekadasi, the last Ekadasi of Kartik, with a few devotees. They distributed 1,008 books in 7 hours, just out there on the street. You know where all the traffic jam is and where is all the noise and all that? And they gave out 25 kilos of pera, prasad. And people were throwing money at them. When you go out and you take the Harinam out on the street, people are throwing money at you. You don't even have to say anything. All you have to say is Hare Krishna. Now, book distribution in India is so easy. It should be illegal. Like in Russia now, they're thinking of banning Bhagavad Gita and labeling it as an extremist literature. Now, this is not a joke. This is serious business. Because the Jehovah's Witnesses are banned. Scientology Church is banned. They first banned their book, then they banned their movement, and then they confiscated their property. So this is serious business. So you have been blessed with the most fertile land. This is Bharata, Bhumi. This is such a fertile land. Now, how do you distribute books? You walk up to somebody and you say, Hare Krishna, Namaskar. And what happens? The person will go, Hare Krishna. And then they will start to smile. Then you hand them the book. And then you say, this book is about Krishna. Do you like Krishna? And 95% of the people start smiling. And they say, I love Krishna or I like Krishna. You would be surprised. But Krishna is the hero. Krishna is very much appreciated. And then you ask them, can you please give a donation for Krishna? And people will say, yes, of course. And that's all you have to say. Can you do that? Is that possible? Now, many of you are scholars and great orators, and you have many followers and many people who are listening to you and taking you seriously. Meet those people. Speak to them about Bhagavad Gita. Speak to them about Srimad Bhagavatam. And ask them, please, get a full set of Prabhupada's books. It's the best investment you have ever made in your life. If you look at the stock market, how are things doing? Our banker is shaking his head. Not good. Not good. So people, where you want to put your money? This is the best investment you can make. Charity starts at home. What's the best investment? Invest in yourself. Learn the teachings of the Mahajans and of Krishna. Get a chance. Why has education become such a multi-billion dollar business in India? Every village you go, there is a huge temple, but not of Krishna. What does it say on the top? Institute for Management and Technology. Have you ever wondered? You drive out in the sticks, in nowhere, and you find a huge building. And you ask, my God, where are the students? Why? Just so you get a diploma to prove to the world that you're employable material, so you can get a job? But unless people read Bhagavad Gita and unless they get in touch with Srila Prabhupada's purports, there will not be peace, there will not be prosperity, and there will not be victory. Because people will be confused. I was in Pushkar, and Pushkar is quite an interesting place because it's very traditional. Up to some time ago, they didn't even have onion and garlic there. So many of the locals, in fact, most of them, claim to be Brahmins. So you can go into an office or into a shop, and everybody, from the guy who cleans the floor to the guy who sits at the cash counter, claims to be a Brahmin. So I was in a travel agency, and there was like seven fellows standing around, all in their 30s, young, good-looking, very well-dressed, very modern, very Western. And when I asked them to give a donation, they said, you know, we're Brahmins, we don't give donations. I said, what? What is the duty of a Brahmin? What are the six kind of activities that a Brahmin does? What is your job description? And none of them had a clue. So I said, Yajan, Yajan, Patan, Patan, Dana, Pratigraha. Anybody tell me what this is? He will get the book for free. No idea. No clue. Not the faintest. I said, study and teach. Engage in sacrifice and engage others in sacrifice. Give in charity and accept in charity. So give in charity. This is your job description. Does anybody know Bhagavad Gita? Yes, we all know. We know everything. I say, very nice. What's 1842? Qualities of a Brahmin.
No clue. No idea. He said, anybody who knows this verse will get the books for free. Nobody knew. So I told him. So then one man took out 500 rupees and said, okay, here, take it. We take all the books. So it is not a question of your, you can be your own personal self. You don't have to have sophistication. You don't have to have the ahankar that I have, and the way of presentation. Just be yourself. That is the most attractive thing that there is. Why? Because that's what's attracting Krishna. Krishna accepted Vasudeva and Devaki because they were simple. They did not pretend. They did not try to be somebody else. They were just his parents. They just wanted to love him, to feed him, to care for him, and to make sure that he's all right. That was their only interest, their only ambition. So there are many points that I noted down and that I will not speak about because there is no time. But to conclude, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has asked each member of the Gaudiya Math to be prepared to shed 200 gallons of blood for the benefit of humanity. Now, a gallon is 3.6 liters. You make the math. That's a lot of blood. And he has asked his sannyasis to every day go and knock on 5 people's doors and preach to them about Krishna consciousness. He was happy if a brahmachari distributed a few magazines. You may think it doesn't matter. The BBT just printed 14 lakhs of books in India. Now, India is doing 2/3 of the world's book distribution. That's wonderful. That's the good news. You know what the bad news is? 80% of that is done in 1 month. So what's happening in the other 11 months? That's the question. But even if you go out and you give one book to one person, that book can make the difference in the world. So there is 4 laws in book distribution. We'll speak about them on Sunday, I believe. Shyamanand Prabhu and Baladev Prabhu will make the presentation. But I was just flying through Moscow, and I had one Ishopanishad left. And I had a few minutes before boarding the flight. And I knew that this book is not going to travel with me. This book has to stay here. So I was just roaming the airport, looking, where is my victim? Where is that person who will have to surrender? So I saw a boy, he looked like Indian. I spoke to him. He was from Pakistan. I said, wonderful! If a person says, I'm from Pakistan, and you go, oh. Now, what does that mean to that person? Is that person going to be happy to speak to you? I said, wonderful! He said, oh, really? I said, which city? Islamabad, this one, that one. He said, Islamabad, how did you know? I said, everybody knows, it's famous. I showed him, I was in Dhoti with shaved head and tilak. I gave him Ishopanishad, I showed him the Sanskrit. He says he's a mechanical engineer living in America. He gave me $10, 10 US dollars, 500 rupees for an Ishopanishad. I asked him, you know, your tradition is slightly different. He said, you know, I'm a scientist. Indian tradition, that tradition. I like to study. I like to learn things. I'm going to read this book. I said, respect. Thank you very much. So we can learn so much from the people on the street if we are not biased, if we are not jaded, if we are not stuck in comfort zone. Because right now, things may look very good. But a few years from now, things may be different. You know, in India, there was not always this time. In Mahaprabhu's time, there was Muslim rule in most parts of India. And devotees were persecuted. And still they would preach and distribute Krishna consciousness. So right now, the only obstruction that we have here for going out is too much ecstasy, too much bhav, and too much good prasadam. That are the only obstacles that are keeping us from going out there. But otherwise, there is no obstacle. So I thank you for your patience, your tolerance with me. I'm sorry if some of the points that I make are a bit drastic and overdrawn. It is done on purpose to stimulate your thought process so you can start to meditate and think, what is my part in this? What is my contribution to the mission of Srila Prabhupada? Because Srila Prabhupada's heart, Srila Prabhupada's mission was big, it was vast. It was so big that the whole world had a place in it. And that is his extraordinary contribution to humanity. And because Prabhupada was simple and he was pure, Krishna chose to appear through Srila Prabhupada. And if we connect ourselves with the pure desire of the Guru Parampara, magic will happen. Krishna will manifest through you. And people's hearts will be touched. And when you see them smiling and becoming emotional by holding the book and saying Krishna's name and appreciating Krishna and engaging in Krishna's service, you will be able to witness the miracle that this Krishna consciousness movement is all about. So my humble request and prayer is, we have gotten the greatest gift. Let's share them with the world, because it is a desert out there. Huh? And the camels are walking around in the desert and are chewing thorny twigs and trying to enjoy that taste. But there is no taste in this world, no matter where you go. But Srimad Bhagavatam is the ambrosia. Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam. And thus it is very dear to the Vaishnavas. So thank you for your enthusiasm and sincerity. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. We went way over time. Should we take questions? No questions. Good. Saved. Hare Krishna.